The Bible says God is love. Out of everything that you and I can come in contact with, we can get to know, we can be around, we can touch, how could you ask for anything greater than God's love? I mean, when it really comes down to what is your need, you need God's love. And I need God's love. And I'm thankful I can sense His love this morning. Can you sense His love here this morning? It's just good that He lets His Holy Spirit remind us that He loves us. And when you're being loved, you can get real bold and you can get open to talk about what you need to talk about. But if you had to go to somebody that you didn't think they loved you anymore, could you tell those secret things? Could you reveal those troubled spots? You'd feel uncomfortable. But in the presence of God's love, you ought to feel right at home to go in and talk to your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, today I've got this need. Father, I've had this situation in my life that I need your help with. And it's His love that will draw you and keep you right there so that He can fix it, work on you, and give you what He needs to give you. Isn't that a good God? Amen. I'm so glad that He loves us this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 6. And we're going to drop into about verse 25 and we'll begin reading there. While you're turning there, those of you that had been praying and heard the prayer request of my grandpa Austin, he was in the hospital here in Bloomington this last week. He had had a stroke. And the family had been there, and I have good news and a good report that he got to go home yesterday, and his desire was to get back in his church, so he was going to church this morning, and not only that, but my uncle, who doesn't always go to church, is going to take him this morning, so my uncle is in service this morning, and I thank God that his spirit will bless, and thank you for your prayers, and that good report that God is touching and ministering still in our family and through your family as well. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, John chapter 6, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin at verse 25 and read down through verse 40. Let me give you what we're going to speak on this morning as a title. Are you eating from the Lord's table? Are you eating from the Lord's table? And let's begin to read together down at verse number 25 this morning. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Lord Jesus, I thank you for being the bread of life. I thank you, Lord, that there is definitely something being served on the Lord's table this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you know how to correct us when we are not able to see correctly. I thank you, Father, that you open up our ears that we might hear and listen into the very words that you said to them in the scripture as we've read this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we're not no longer looking for manna, but we're looking unto the bread of life to sustain us right here. And Father, that you will raise us up in the last day if we will believe and trust upon your name. And Father, we give you all the thanks and all the praise. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Are you eating from the Lord's table? There's a lot of scripture that you can go to that has things about eating and things about drinking. Maybe I'm in a little bit of trouble this morning because the topic has already taken you from the hour of when you're going to sit down and have your dinner. But I want to give you a meal this morning that God has spoken to my spirit about eating from the table of the Lord. And I want us to understand some things about God's table this morning. He has something for you and I that is nowhere found in any other place. See, it's not maybe every day that you really think about eternal life. It's not every day that you really think about living forever and ever. But see, there's something that Jesus came to do that no one else is able to do. And it's because of the love of the Father that you and I have been given the opportunity to sit down and have a meal with Jesus and receive from the table of the Lord something that he calls life everlasting, eternal life. He's not saying that you and I have something that's going to live on for eternity. You and I must realize that by the scripture of God, you can understand that we are an eternal being. There's something about you that will live on forever and ever. There's something about me that was made in the image and likeness of God our Father that gives us something about us that we might not fully understand right now, but we have some eternal substance within us. We're going to live forever. But the difference has to do with whether or not you're sitting at the Lord's table. Whether or not you're sitting down and partaking of a meal day in and day out and taking of the protein and the vitamins and the minerals and all of those things that you must have and I must have to be able to have life eternally. You don't want to just have eternal existence. You want to have life everlasting. Amen? You want to have life everlasting. Jesus told us in John 3:16, for he came. What did he come for? He came that he might see a world and a people saved. But what does he say? That when you and I believe on him, what's going to happen? We shall have everlasting life. The same thing that Jesus was talking about. The passage just before that, Jesus had had a multitude of a crowd. Big crowd was sitting there, 5,000. Jesus was ministering and beginning to expound on the things of heaven. They were seeing miraculous things happen. And here, all of a sudden, it's time for them to eat a meal. Jesus begins to work with his disciples, gives them a little bit of a test and says, where are we going to get the bread? How are we going to feed them? Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus came prepared to be a meal. Jesus came prepared for you and I to have a meal every day with him. This crowd was nothing for him. But he takes five loaves and he takes two fish, and you know this if you've been through Sunday school. You know this if you've been in any Bible studies of your own, that this is very familiar to us. We recognize that this is one of the miracles that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's there in Matthew, it's there in Mark, it's there in Luke, it's there in John, that Jesus fed the multitude. He fed the multitude. He was able to give them. He took the bread and he took the fish. The Bible says he gave thanks. If you ever need anything multiplied in your life, begin by thanking God for what you have. You never gain by being unthankful. You're never going to add to your church. You're never going to add to the things that God desires us to do if we'll not start out by being thankful. Jesus said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, I've got these two fish and I've got these five loaves." Then after that, he broke it and he gave it unto his disciples and he gave it out to them and said, "Go and send it out and let the multitude begin to eat." Do you know that if you sit down at the table and all the food is set and spread on that table, that you'll stay hungry until you eat? I mean, have you ever just smelled the goodness of food and y'all, you just thought in yourself, my, that's going to be awful good, but nothing's going to happen until you eat? See, the Bible says that he fed the multitude. Then he took up a collection. It says in the scriptures that he wanted to gather up the fragments so that nothing was lost. This was not an ordinary meal. It now became something out of heaven. It now began to be a miraculous thing that took place that no man could duplicate. No man could redo this. Nothing could happen. No one could feed this multitude. Nobody could meet those needs on that day but one. His name is Jesus. And he gave thanks on that bread and he broke it and he spread it out and everybody was able to eat, and the Bible says they were full. They got filled. This is not just a little soup line somewhere that says, get your little cup of soup and your one little corner of bread. You might be sustained enough to get through a day on that amount of food, but you won't be filled. You'll go away hungry. Let me tell you, when you get to Jesus, he's got no desire for you to sit at his table and get up hungry. If you've got an appetite this morning, he says you can come and dine and eat right here in the house of God. You can pull your chair up and stay at that table and get down in the food of Jesus and allow him to feed you this morning, and you can go home filled with all you want this morning. And then you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, guess what? I was thinking of somebody else besides you as well. Not only did he have enough to feed the multitude, see, it wasn't an accident that there was some to collect over again. It wasn't by mistake that God miscounted in the calculator of heaven and punched in 5,000. Oh, I need this much bread. I need this much fish to be multiplied. No, he's always an abundant supplying God. He's always going to fill you up so that you'll overflow and be it over on somebody else. He's not just satisfied with giving you a touch in the altar. He wants you to be full of his Holy Spirit so that you'll be on fire for him and you'll go out and touch someone else for Jesus. See, that's how he does it. Fill me up, Lord. And then he said, go and collect those fragments. Sometimes we leave the fragments in church. How do you do that? Well, you only listen for 30 minutes. Unfortunately, you have a long-winded preacher, so sometimes it's 45. What about your Sunday school class? What about your neighbor across the aisle that gave you a word that God spoke to them? Did you hear it? Does it go with you past the four walls of the church, or did you leave your fragment? When God began to speak to you and say, pray for that person. And you sense his Holy Spirit saying to you that this person needs a touch and they need a breakthrough and they need something from God. And you begin to respond. And in church, you'll pray. But then what about on Monday? Did you leave your fragments at the altar? See, God is always blessing in a way that we carry it and go on. Get those fragments picked up, disciples. We got more work to do somewhere. And we're going to start it off with the 12 basketfuls that we collected. Notice that the baskets were full. Everything that Jesus touches gets full. Everything about you, he wants to be full. Everything about me, he wants to be full. What are we going to do? But we got to sit down and eat from the Lord's table. He wasn't going to chase them all over the hillside. He told his disciples, he said, get them and tell them to sit down. Go gather them up and get them set down. What is he saying? Sit down at the table of the Lord. Sit down and let me feed you something, but I'm not going to chase you down to give you the food. We run all the time. Life has got us on the fastest track it's ever had us on. We don't even have cruise. We burn up the cruise controls in our car. Because we're going so fast. I'm just as guilty. Day in and day out. But you see, if you'll let the Holy Spirit remind you. Father, what was that song that blessed my heart Sunday morning? He'll begin to sing it with you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And all of a sudden you feel your faith begin to churn. I'm going to make it another day. And I'm not just going to make it, but I'm going to be full today of the good things of God. I'm going to eat and partake of the bread of life. Are you eating from the Lord's table? In Genesis chapter 3, we have covered it over and over and over again in the church. Man sinned. Man sinned and something happened. Sin nature began to be born. But there's something in Genesis chapter 3 that struck my spirit about eating from the Lord's table. They had stopped eating from the Lord's table. There was something in the Garden of Eden that they needed to partake of, and it's called the tree of life. They started shopping and going to another grocery store. They traded the good food that God had blessed them with. God said because of man's sin that he had to do something. He said they have become like us. They have become one like one of us who knows good and evil. And see, what was going to happen is if man got back to the tree of life, it was going to stay messed up. God is saying this morning, you can't eat from both tables and expect your life to be straightened out. You cannot eat the junk food of life and expect the blessings and the Holy Spirit to manifest in your home. It did not work for Adam and Eve. God said that he had to get them removed from the garden. If you look in your Bible, it says he drove them out. Do you know it's going to be hard to pry your flesh away from the junk food of life? You and I are used to the cravings of the flesh. We feed it on a regular basis. But God has said you need to understand that you'll never have eternal life if you keep eating junk food every day. I'm not here to talk to you about your diets. I'm here to talk to you about the real sitting down at the table of the Lord and getting a meal that will satisfy not just your body, but the spirit that's inside of you that will help you to walk and not faint and to run and not be weary and to be like David who said, I can run and leap over a wall. I can go through a troop. How is he going to do that? He must have been sitting at the table of the Lord and getting something in his heart. In Genesis 3, the Bible says that there was a flaming sword turning every which way to do one thing. It was guarding the way to the tree of life. If you're interested in the tree of life, if you're interested in life eternal, then you got to know the way to get there. It was to protect the way to the tree of life. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to have security of eternal life. You need to let yourself know this morning. Wake yourself up and remind yourself that, hey, there is an eternal substance in me, and I better know if it's eternal life, or if it's not eternal life, then it has to be eternal death. And I don't want to be eternally dying and separated from God. I don't want to find myself in the lake of fire. I don't want to be in the place where the enemy's going to be forever and ever, but I want to be in the everlasting life in the kingdom of the living God. I need to know that I got to sit down and eat from the Lord's table, or it's never going to happen for me. He taught them in the garden the very simple principle of eating. It is not a one-time shot done for all eternity in life. He put a tree of life in the garden, and they were to be able to freely take of that tree until they sinned. And then God said, I can't allow this. Do you know what I think that sword turning every which way represents? If you want to get a real close-up look of your Heavenly Father and your God and my God, that's a holy, holy sword going back and forth saying, I will not let an insect, I will not let a bug, I will not let a gnat, I will not let an enemy, I will not let a sinful man, I will not let a sinful woman get close to my tree of life. I'm a holy God, therefore be holy. Separate yourself from the things of this life and get ready for eternal life and living. It's called the tree of life. It's not called the temporary tree of existence. Do you know that the tree of life is in heaven? You can find it in Revelation chapter 2 when he's talking to the church of Ephesus. And he begins to tell them there that he says, those that overcome will be able to eat and partake of the tree of life. And then he describes it again in Revelation 22. And he says, on either side of the river, you know, that crystal river that's going to flow right down out of the throne of heaven, right through the middle. And everywhere the tree of life is mentioned, it's right smack dab in the middle and center of God. Was in the center. In the Garden of Eden. It's in the center of the street. Revelation chapter 22. Do you realize that there's 12 fruits on that tree? And the Bible says in Revelation 22 that that fruit will reproduce and it will regrow and come back every month. So if you think this morning that you and I get this one chance to pray our prayers to the Lord, and we've done all the eating that we need to do to get us on into eternal life, we may need to rethink what we're doing this morning. If you didn't come with a fork and a spoon in your spirit and a knife by you to say, God, I got to get this word this morning. I got to chop it up and swallow it and eat it so that I can have eternal life. Because if you don't eat and partake of the things of God, then it's not going to help you with eternal living. But we're natural. Do you know where Adam went from the garden? He had to go to the soil of the earth and dig through the rocks and the thorns. And he had to get this old nasty ground to give him some kind of a crop to come out. And that's where he began to eat. He sat in the dirt. He sat in the dust of the earth. And he began to watch his food come from there. When all the while Jesus was saying, I'm the tree of life. If you would not have sinned, if you would not have walked away from my covering and my blessing, then oh, you could have just picked the fruit right off the vine and had your dinner. But our eyes are on the natural. You and I look at the dust. We look at the toils and the labors. How do I know that to be true? Because if you just stand in any corner long enough, we're not talking about eternal life. We're talking about the boss who gave me a hard time. We're talking about the child that's rebelling. We're talking about the body that's aching. We're talking about the food that's not in the refrigerator of our homes. And we're not even thinking about the eternal life of Jesus who says, I'll give you something to eat every day if you'll come to my table. We'd rather figure out how to get the food out of the ground than to look up to heaven and say, God, feed me today. He's always going to meet our needs. Galatians chapter 5 is where you can read about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, goodness. He tells us all these things, faith, meekness. He's talking to us this morning. Are you eating? Temperance, are you thinking about it this morning? And I was going through the scripture, and it hit my heart. Fruit of the Spirit. I got to eat something. I got to sit down at the Lord's table. He put all of the things of His Spirit in fruit form. You can't love anybody without sitting at the table. You can't have joy in your heart without sitting at the table. You can't have long suffering and be able to do that like our Lord is long suffering, so that no one is, He's waiting to come so that you and I can still repent. But you know what? I can't get the fruit of the Spirit in my life until I sit down at His table. I can't go through the drive-thru and catch it on one of the network channels or the radio. I got to come and sit where He says, my table is there for you. He had a definite table for you and I to sit at. He had a table for David while he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of thine enemies. When you're in the midst of your enemies, it isn't that God's going to sit you down and give you potatoes and gravy and steak and carrots and all of that. He's going to give you the tree of life food that's going to get you walking out of the valley of death. All we see on the table is what we want in our vision. God, I want some strawberry rhubarb pie. God, I want some of those noodles that Grandma used to make. You know, the kind with the chicken. Made some good gravy with it and put it over those mashed potatoes coming up out of the ground. You know, those potatoes that were in the backfield. Grandpa would have us go out and pick them, pull them, and get them. That corn on the cob that, you know, you got to shuck it, get it out of its ear, get it away from all those little tassel things, and then let Grandma put it in a hot boiling thing of water and get all the juices just going. I lost some of you. That wasn't the table He set for David. He said, David, right here, where your enemies have chased you to the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to show you who God is. Don't think you got to run to a revival to get something from God. Don't think you got to go halfway around the world to let somebody else pray for you. Get at your table where God says, right in the midst of the enemies, I will prepare a table for you. He will feed you His Word. Have nothing against revivals. Have nothing against other ministries. There's many good ones that God is using all over this land. But church, you got to ask yourself, where's my table? Where is the table that God has set for me to eat from? One of the saddest things of our culture is we have let go of our kitchen tables, our dining room tables. And we've replaced it with comfortable furniture in the living room, with TV trays. And God said, I've got a table, but you got to come and sit at my table. Do you know there's going to be a table? God is not going to just let us have a TV dinner tray in heaven. He says, I've got a table for you to eat at, and you're going to have to come and get to this table. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit saying, get back to the table of the Lord. Eat where God says to eat and dwell where God says to dwell. And don't forget to get your fragments picked up and carry them with you by the basketfuls and get out and minister the things of God again. Hebrews chapter 3 gets right down between the eyes. It's a place in Scripture that separates milk from the meat eaters. Hebrews chapter 3 says, by this time you ought to be teaching. But instead, you're the one being taught again the very oracles and principles of God all over. The Bible says that that is like milk. What's sad today is that churches and ministries are still on the milk route instead of the meat delivery service. I'm still going to minister the milky message, the Milky Way, instead of the meat, the solid meat, the root and the meat of what God said to do. You know what the difference is? The milk is when you can come in and you want it and you just want to keep getting it and getting it and getting it. But the meat is something that will get in your spirit, and when it sets inside of you, it is the protein that will get you out of your seat and go save someone in this lost world. What does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 3 about that? He says those that are on milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Oh, I want the message that God loves me. Oh, I want the message that God forgives me. Oh, I want the message that God's going to supply and meet every need I have. But I don't want the message that says love your neighbor. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Obey Him when He says, come to my table. Righteousness, you and I know, is nothing we can have. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But if I want to be used of God, I got to go on and follow Jesus in His acts of righteousness, not just His message of love. Come on, church. We got much work to do. It's not time to hang up the aprons and put away the nails and the hammer. It's time to go back and look for the next thing God says build for my kingdom. Get it done. I want you, if you will, I'm closing, and I want you to go to John chapter 15 with me this morning. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And you could read on if you'd like, but I just want to read the first 8 verses this morning in closing. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Be my disciples. Be my disciples. God's looking for disciples. Every place in Scripture where Jesus said, follow me. What He was saying is, the fruit that I put out, you reproduce it and you be the same. Fruit has to grow every season. It's a constant renewing of our heart, our spirit, our love, our relationship with God. The thing that caused man to fall was they missed a season of renewal. Instead of going to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they should have made another trip to the tree of life. But you and I, this morning, have something going on. We can miss our season of renewal for fruit. He's called us out. He's asked us to come and sit at His table. He had to tell the group that was coming to Him there in the first passage of Scripture that I read to you this morning. First of all, they said, God, show me a sign. He confronted them and said, you didn't come for the miracles I'm doing. You came because you got your belly full. And He separated and said, get away from desiring the things that are temporary and start eating something that will last forever. But the whole principal key is you've got to keep eating from Jesus. What did He say? Take, eat. This is my body. This do ye in remembrance of me. Take, eat. What we have been missing out on is we have been coming to a house of worship. And we're not eating. We've been serving God, but we're not eating. How do you eat? I'm going to close with this. I won't go into Scripture, but I think it's Luke chapter 10. Mary and Martha. Do you realize that Martha was the one that asked Jesus to come to her home? She let Jesus in her home. We have let Jesus in our heart. But now follow what happens. Mary, her sister, chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha let Him in. Many people have let Jesus in, but then they haven't come to the table. Martha complained to Jesus, don't you care that my sister is not helping me do all these chores? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Mary has chose the good thing. And you know what He said? The one needy thing Mary chose. Out of all the Scriptures and all the things that we can read in the Word of God, Jesus says, Mary chose the one needful thing. So every preacher, every teacher, every disciple, every minister of any kind, singer, it doesn't matter, every born-again believer needs the one needy thing. What is it? Sit at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that she listened and learned from Him. There was a meal behind her. And Jesus said, it's not the natural meal that will get you through this thing, but when you let me feed you and give you the bread of life, it will sustain you and cause you to have the one thing in your life you need. Is the bread of life. I ask you to stand in the church this morning. Let's bow our heads together. The choice that is before you and me this morning is whether or not we want to sit down at the Lord's table. When you sit down, get ready for Him to talk to you about holiness. Get ready for Him to tell you the way of righteousness. Get ready while you're sitting at the Lord's table for you to hear the message of forgiveness. How can God forgive you if you and I cannot forgive our brother who we see? Ask yourself, have I only been like Martha and asked the Lord to come in? But then I said, Lord, I don't want your meal. I'd rather stay busy doing it my way. Be serious. God knows if you're going to eat. I want to pray this morning, and while I'm praying, if you have any need at all, I just want you to lift up your hand and say, God, I want to sit at your table. What I want to do this morning may sound a little unusual, but I just sense this in my heart. I want you to stand over the prayer that I'm getting ready to pray, and then I want you to be able to sit down. And when I ask for those that have a need, I want you, while you're sitting, to raise your hand. I want you to see yourself sitting at the table of the Lord. Pray with me right now, and then we'll pray another prayer together. Lord, it's true. We have missed many meals with you. God, how you've longed to feed us every day. A fresh new meal. God, I pray as a pastor of the church, Lord, that we have the fresh bread from heaven. Lord, it was not Moses who brought manna from heaven. It was you, the Lord. And Jesus, you have been sent down as the true bread. And if all I ever do is look at the bread in the window and I never take the slice and take it in myself, then I'm missing what it will take for me to have eternal life. Eternal life depends on us eating and taking your bread every day. Help us in that area, Father. If the tree of life is also in heaven as it was in the garden, then we must eat of that tree of life. Teach us to eat. In the name of Jesus. I want the church to sit down. With your heart, I want you to be sitting now at the table of the Lord. This is where your needs are met. Everything that God serves is going to be what you need, and He'll be the server. If you have a need in your life right now, all I want you to do is simply lift up your hand, and I'm going to pray for those needs this morning. I want to ask the congregation to raise your hand while you're sitting at the Lord's table this morning. Let God know. Hallelujah. There's needs all over this house. There's needs. You can put your hands down. See God feeding you His meat. See Him talking into your heart. His presence leading you and guiding you. Stay at His table. Don't skip your meals. We know what happens when the body, the natural body, misses too many meals. It gets weak. It goes to the hospital. It'll take a needle to rehydrate the dehydrated body. Don't be the kind of Christian that has to be fed by a needle. Eat what the Lord has prepared. God, you saw every hand. Lord, you know every need. You know every heartache and burden and pain. But Lord, what they're going to need to get into the next day and the next month is to eat from your table. Let them hear your words and take in your words so that eternal life will be fed in them. Give them strength to hear. Give them eyes to understand and see. And Lord, as we sit at your feet and take in your word, our natural needs will be met. The multitude sat on the hill. And they had a natural need. They were miles and miles away from their villages and where their stores and their breads and their foods were. And God, many of them might not have been able to make the journey back home, but Lord, you fed them. As they sat at your feet, you fed them the bread of life, and then you gave them natural bread. Set our priorities right, Father. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what we need. You know the clothing that we need. You know the food that we need. You know the homes that we need. You know the jobs that we need. You know the healings that we need. Church, if you'll eat the words of Jesus, take in His love. The Bible says something else about the tree of life in heaven. It says that the leaves are for our healing. You got to be close enough to the tree. Some people have missed their healings because they haven't been by the tree of life. They've been standing somewhere else and asking God to heal them, and He said, get by my tree. That's where the leaves of healing are. Don't be mad at God. Ask yourself, have I been eating from the Lord's table, or have I been eating the junk food of the world? Did I take another bite out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or am I back to the tree of life? Because you know the difference between Genesis to where we live today. God does have a sword. It's His word. And it is a sword that divides between the bone and the marrow. But He is saying, I can give you the way back to the tree of life. Take of Jesus. He's been sealed by God to be the way back to eternal living. And as long as you take Jesus and dwell with Him, then you ought to be blessed in your spirit to know that life eternal is in you. Life eternal. Hallelujah. Let us stand together and be dismissed. Lord, again, I thank You. I thank You that when they came and asked, what must I do to have eternal life? Lord, You pointed to You. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the bread of life. No man can come to the Father except by Me. And You have called us to disciple and be disciples. And disciples have to keep eating. Help us, Lord. We give You praise. Just love Him. He fed us today. He fed us from His table. Don't it feel good to come sit down at His table? You know He's got a place for you there. Just like when you don't show up at home for your meal, you're missed. God's got a place setting at His table for you. And I believe He's going to miss you every time you miss a meal. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We eat, on average, 3 meals a day. Probably one of the simplest techniques you can do is each time you get ready to eat, take in a little bite of God's Word and pray, so that you keep eternal life. We love You this morning, Jesus. Thank You for being my bread of life. You're so good. Say this with me this morning. I'm blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God bless you this morning. You are dismissed.